Lou who? Lou ain't here, but in for him is your host, Dave Plyer, and two guys that can, well, help Dave answer the questions, Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. They're taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right, thank you, Lindsay. Good morning. It's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio, live from the Allstate Skyline Studios here on 720 WGN. Joining me are the experts that take your calls throughout the morning. It's Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Are you on live?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can't. Hold on a second here. Try it again, Jim.
Hello. There we are.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Y'all made it in here.
Yes.
We made
That's the important thing, of course. And we'll be checking in on the weather all morning long. Roads are a little rough.
A little rough. I came in on the Eisenhower, and yeah, it was a little rough there. Although I was about...
No surprise, but...
Yeah, it was like a half a mile behind the line of snowplow, so that wasn't too bad, although it makes it a little slower, but...
But people always talk about, of course, on a day like today, about shoveling and not overexerting yourself, because this is a time where heart attacks jump 37%. So you want to be careful on how much you're actually pushing and so forth. And Lou, yesterday on the WGN Morning News, had some good tips on what type of shovels to obviously use today. And, of course, everyone's got one probably sitting around the garage, but... He said, you know, the ones that are aluminum and reinforced are probably your best bet, especially when you're pushing snow.
Mm-hmm.
But the plastic ones will do just fine. You just want to take a break a little bit now and then and do a little bit at a time, right?
Yeah, definitely. I found that the plastic ones work good, though, if you have a composite deck and you want to shovel the deck because it won't scratch.
Because you don't want to mess it up. So that's a good point, too.
If you have dogs and they need to get off that deck.
Yep.
Well, aluminum, when you got chunks of ice in the driveway, there was one thing he said, and I know we're a little too late for this now, but he said, you know, to throw a little salt down on the driveway and the sidewalk before it snows will make it a lot easier to pick it up. So maybe as you're going through this, because this winter storm is going to continue through noon and probably into the afternoon, is if you're going to do one round of shoveling out there, is do get some salt out on the sidewalk. It'll make it easier for your next round to do as well. Prices for snow shovels could range from $15 to like $125. I mean, it depends on what you're buying. And I know there's some snow blowers out there that will actually shoot the snow. He was talking about Ergo, I think it's called, and it's it shoots the snow about 100 feet or 50 feet away from where you're at. Like,
so
it totally
really
shoots it in the air.
You can
really shoot somebody down in your driveway or somebody from the street if they're driving too fast through that as well. But I'm watching Mike Hammernick right now on WGN TV. And yeah, you know, some of the roads are just like a one clear lane that has been plowed so far. So again, as you go out this morning, make sure you're proceeding with caution. But here's another thing. Safety first. The Center for Injury Research and Policy says there's more than 11,000 medical emergencies each year related to shoveling snow.
Yeah. So I used to live in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Yeah.
I was in the Air Force. I was stationed very close to Lake Superior, and we would get a ton of snow up there, literally a ton of snow.
Yeah.
And of course, it wouldn't melt till like July, you know, because it was the Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Yeah.
But I see them around here now. Up there, we used to use commonly referred to them, and everybody up there called them Youper Scoopers.
Hmm. Okay.
And so these things are like... it's a shovel, sort of, but it's more like it looks like a scoop, if you will.
Okay.
And I see them around here now. Like,
okay.
They're starting to infiltrate down here. We don't get as much snow as they do, but the idea is that you never lift up the snow. So the idea is that you sort of it's like a U-shaped handle,
okay.
And you scoop the snow, and then you tip it down, and it kind of slides on itself because it's sort of rounded on.
So
the
you
back.
End up pushing the snow.
Yeah,
or?
It's like you end up pushing it.
Okay.
You get it. You push it up, you know, to another spot, and then you just tip it upside down, and the snow comes out. And like I said, they're starting to become more popular around here. Like, I see them around. They work well for heavy snows like this. And I would say that if you're in the market for a snowblower and you're, a shovel, it would be something to look at because, like I said, it I think it is safer too because there's not as much lifting
it's
involved.
Kind of like a sled.
It's more like a sled. Yeah, you scoop it, you grab it,
yeah.
You roll it. You know, you just slide it along the ground, then you get to wherever you want it to dump it, and you just dump it.
So you're not breaking your back.
You're not breaking your back.
Yeah.
You're not having to lift it all the time.
I hear you.
And like I said, we would. I mean, up in the Upper Peninsula, I mean, you'd shovel 12 inches at a time. So you, if you were going to lift that, you'd be in trouble. So
I'm still old school. I like to do it. Keep the workout.
Yeah.
I got a neighbor with a snowblower. I can do my driveway in half the time it takes him to do the snowblower one.
Yeah.
And he's just walking behind.
Yeah,
I'm
you know
done.
What? You know, prices on snowblowers aren't that horrible. You just got to make sure the biggest issue is they said that like 70% of the time there's just no gas in the garage to go. You got to run out and get out of your driveway
right.
to go.
Solar snowblower.
Yeah, that could be cool. I like that. But it's also the temperatures are dropping. So tonight it's dropping down to 10 degrees. So what you're going to do is you're going to see some of the snow melt a little bit and turn into ice. And then the high tomorrow is going to be 16 degrees. So whatever you do as far as shoveling today, try to get it done this afternoon while it's relatively warm outside and in the 30s so that you're not out there trying to chip ice away and so forth. But we also are looking at some heavy lake effect snow that might be coming through tomorrow. As well with this.
And it's going pretty far south, too.
It is, yeah.
And it's not just along the lake. It's
no.
Far off the lake.
Absolutely, into Indiana as well. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to, in fact, I'm going to open up the phone lines. And by the way, I've got stuff to give away, folks. So, and I'm going to give a lot of it away in the next half hour. So hopefully you're up and not shoveling this just yet. But I've got some great things to give away, some ABT gift cards, some indoor weather stations from American Weathermakers. Some Wi-Fi, thermostats and some other things. So open up the phone lines. I'm going to give away some of those stuff to some of our first callers, 312-981-7200. Again, 312-981-7200. We have the experts, Mike and Jim, in here. And talk to us a little bit before we get started. You've been doing this for a very, very long time with Lou. How did you first get started? We'll start with you,
I've
Mike.
Been about 20 years now.
Yeah.
Getting close to. And I had dinner with Lou one night and had me hooked up with Milt Rosenberg.
Did nice.
His show.
Yeah.
And did his show. And then shortly after that, started doing the fill-in for Lou.
If you were approved by Milt, you were pretty much good to go, right?
He was an awesome guy. He really was an awesome guy.
But he used to do some handyman stuff, too, because that surprises me. Like, I know Milt for doing one thing.
He kind of did a little everything.
He did, yeah.
He dabbled in all kinds of stuff. But a very interesting man.
Absolutely. How about you, Jim?
I actually met Lou through NARI, which is the organization Mike and I kind of come from sitting here. But I met him there, and we did I did two episodes on his TV show, the House Smarts TV, and then shortly after that started doing the radio show when he's not here. So
you have a face for radio, Mike. You have a face for television.
Yeah.
Obviously that's what we're hearing from all this. Yeah, exactly. Talk to us a little bit about your company's, Mike, from Creative Carpentry.
Like I said, we've been around for about 30 years, not quite, getting up there. And we do residential commercial remodeling out in the burbs. We're based out of Bolingbrook and been doing it. And
what's your website?
Creativecarpentry.net.
Okay.
And phone number 630-892-0720.
We'll make sure we post that as well after the show. What about you, Jim?
Yep. Tate Enterprises. Yep. We've been in business over 25 years, and we're located out in Hinsdale. We pretty much work in that area of Hinsdale. And, our website is tateent.com, and we're at 630-986-0855.
Very cool. 630 says, I think Lou carries those shovels at his Ace in Villa Park. So the shovels you were talking about.
Yeah, if you're looking for a shovel, like I said, this is the snow to use that on because it's a lifesaver.
All right, we're going to take our first call here. It's Ken from 847. Good morning, Ken. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning.
Your furnace is out. This is probably a call we need to get to right away.
It's actually been acting up. Yesterday morning, I woke up about 2:30. And it was 60 degrees in the house. I came downstairs. The thermostat said that the furnace was going. It was not. So I turned off the system, and it promptly came on. It came on. The impeller turned on. The heating element heated up. The flames kicked in. The blower kicked on. And that lasted about 12 seconds, and then it all shut down again. So I called NICOR. I've got their home solution thing. And I scheduled an appointment for yesterday afternoon. Went back to sleep. When I woke up, it was 68 and beautiful in the house, and the furnace was working fine. So I canceled the appointment because there's no appointment, no point in having them come out to see that it worked. Mm-hmm. And now this morning, exact same thing. I turned it off. It kicked on for a few seconds. I left it turned off for a while, turned it back on. It all came on. It ran for maybe 30 seconds, then shut off.
Got a question.
I've had it turned on. Yes.
When was the last time you changed your filters?
The filter is, in fact, NICOR was out on the 1st, or the 2nd, rather, and they checked it because it was not kicking on at all. The blower was running, but the flames weren't kicking on. So we actually took the filter out. He said that I need to get some additional airflow into it.
Yeah.
So I moved around upstairs to clear out a cabinet that was in front of one of the cold air returns. But it's been working fine since that day. I've had no problem up until yesterday.
Yeah, that's a problem.
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a problem sometimes with those furnaces. Is it a Carrier by chance?
It's a York.
Okay. Because some of these energy efficient ones, there's too much restriction on the airflow, they'll shut down, and then you have to basically reboot them, which is turn them off and then let them recycle. If you get a real heavy duty filter too, you know, because maybe you have allergies or whatever, sometimes it's so restricted that it'll make it shut down and you have to keep rebooting it. So that might be part of the problem.
Okay.
The other thing I might also throw in there too, I like the fact that you're troubleshooting it yourself and that you sort of watch its going through its checks and balances, because, you know, furnaces are pretty much computers these days. But one thing that I would also just throw out there is, I don't know if your thermostat has a battery in it. Some of them are wired and get power from the furnace. Other thermostats have batteries in them. And it is possible that your battery is going low and that's your furnace is coming on, but it's not staying on long enough because the batteries are low in your thermostat. So that'd be something else I would check as well.
Ken, do you have a Wi-Fi thermostat?
I do, actually. It's an Ecobee 4.
Okay, and, so it's hardwired.
It is wired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when the guy came out at the beginning of this month, he determined that somehow the connection, the plate of the thermostat where it snaps into the wall, wasn't completely engaged somehow. So we did that, and it reset, and he said, you know, the filters you have are too restrictive based upon the airflow. From what I can see, he took off the bottom plate, and it kind of snapped back in from the suction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's why we left the filter out.
Yeah, and that just means that you're getting a lot of pressure, so it's pulling or pushing air out, but it's not pulling a ton of air in if you're getting pressure down there. So if I were a betting man, I would say you either have a pressure switch that's affecting the exhaust of the furnace that is sensing that it's not getting enough flow of exhaust leaving the furnace system, or the other thing I would think that it is a flame sensor. Something is or it's overheating. Some kind of sensor that's telling it that it's running too hot.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of texts in here that says it's probably a flame sensor hit with a piece of emery cloth.
There you go.
All right, hey Ken, since you're the first caller, I'm going to give you an ABT gift card, $50 gift card, and spend it how you like and have a good time.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'll put you on hold. Hang on, buddy.
All right,
you're listening to House Smarts Radio, and this half hour is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. We'll be right back after this on 720 WGN. We were just talking about that little promo for Dane and his car show. I just saw online yesterday that the car, and I follow a lot of TV stuff, but the car from the Rockford Files, the Firebird that he had, do you remember the gold Firebird? That is going up on auction today. So at some point, I turned you off. So at some point, James Gardner owned it, and he's been gone for a little while, and I guess it's fallen into private collectors' hands and stuff, but it's like actually all redone inside, outside. but it's also wired for sound inside because they used to actually have microphones in the car to do all that stuff. How much do you think that car is going to go for?
Is this like Bill Barrett or Barrett Jackson?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
$130,000.
That's, you know, okay. All right. No. Guess?
I was thinking somewhere about $100,000.
Over $100,000. They said it should go between $30,000 and $40,000.
Oh, really? Wow. I was way off.
Because that's kind of an iconic car. I mean, it's not like maybe the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard or some of those, or one of the Batmobiles or something like that. But it's still kind of an iconic car, and it's a cool looking car, right?
Yeah.
It was like a 77, maybe, Firebird or something like that. Anyway, $40,000. You can follow that today if you've got some extra money.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's Dave Plyer and for Lou this morning, along with Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. We're taking your calls, 312-981-7200. I got stuff to give away, too, in the snowy morning. So give us a call with your questions, your problems, your short speeches. Kathy, you're on 720 WGN. You got a real problem in that house.
Well, it's not that bad, but it's not pleasant.
Yeah. Some stink bugs, huh?
Yeah, we have tried to seal up any entrances that they might sneak into, and they just make their appearances one every few days, and you have to be careful, of course, when you snatch them off the wall because they will start stinking. And I've never experienced the stink, but I just can imagine, so I try to be very careful in how I dispose of them. But is there anything we should try that's a known deterrent?
You know, I always think that, like, one of the best ideas in the world would be to be able to find a little itty bitty camera that you can just like put on the back of a stink bug maybe or some kind of pest, and you could mount it on and then you could follow along, because the problem with stink bugs, right, and kind of like mice are the same thing, like if you see one, like you always assume there must be like a million of them somewhere else, you know, and so it would be nice to kind of follow it along and see if it's got like a whole, you know, dwelling somewhere else in the house with all of its relatives.
So, Jim, now, is that something you do?
Mount cameras on bugs?
Maybe. I was going to ask Jim how long he's had this drug problem, but
I tend to think, and I've had a few in the winter in my house, and I can't explain it either, right? I thought that was a benefit of living in Chicago, is that all the bugs get frozen up, but I tend to think that they actually come from the attic this time of year, that I think they come in maybe through the soffits in the summertime, and they sort of take up residence in the eaves, and then in the wintertime, they're looking for some warmer weather, as opposed to being close to the gutter line there, and I think they come in through openings in the ceilings then, so can lights or an electrical box in the ceiling or something like that. That's the only thing I can kind of come up with.
Do they still make those smoke bombs that you put in the attic? Are those still available? They used to make a canister you would stick in your attic and open it up, and it would basically fog your attic, you know, to kill off any bugs like that. I don't know if it's a chemical that they can still do or not, but that was the only thing I could think of.
So that's my recommendation. Is I think that I would probably have somebody or spray or something in the attic space along the eaves, and like I said, that's the best I can come up with for a stink bug.
And I've got nothing to give away that's going to help you for that. But how about in this crappy weather? How about a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling?
Great, thank you.
Beautiful. Hang on the line, Kathy. We'll take your information down. Hey, Mitch, you're on 720 WGN. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for hanging out. What's going on? You got some questions on some solar panels?
Yeah, I've been looking at the solar panels. Actually, I had them installed, and I'm just wondering why the other guys are, why the rest of the people aren't doing it. I had the panels put on, and actually, I'm thinking about turning them on today.
Have you guys installed them? Into some
I have not. I'm really curious. So, are the solar panels for making hot water heat or hot water or for electricity?
It's for electricity.
Electricity. Okay. I think that the bigger reason they haven't taken over or become more popular is I'm not sure that the cost benefit is there yet. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, like what the cost was versus what you expect to see in your electric bill.
Well, at this point, I haven't had to pay anything. They put the panels on, and they're going to knock my bill down to about 40% of what I was paying.
Okay.
And then that's it. I haven't had to pay a dime.
So who paid for the panels?
It's the program between Commonwealth Edison and Sunrun is the name of the company that's doing it.
So it's a rebate of sorts?
Yeah, sorts. They said that the Commonwealth Edison is given so much money through the government, and they have to spend this money to have renewable energy.
Got it. So, I assume, is it just panels, or do you have batteries to store the electricity that it's generating, or is it only generating during the day?
It's just on panels, and I think what happens is it goes to ComEd as far as the energy, any energies that is left over that I don't use.
Got it.
And I think ComEd ends up using part of that.
Got it.
And so they only charge me a portion of what I need to be paying, so that we kind of work together now.
I think it's a great idea. The thing is that what most people don't know is that the actual amount of electricity that ComEd generates in their facilities, about 60% of that is lost through the lines and through transmission to actually get it to us, you know, at our homes. And so the idea that you can generate electricity closer to where it's actually being consumed, I think, is a great idea. And I think I like the idea of solar panels. I like the idea of windmills. I like all of it. And to me, it's sort of the reason that we're moving to more energy-efficient homes, why we're going to LED light bulbs and all that kind of stuff, because I just think we're kind of getting set up as consumers for lower electrical consumption so that we don't rely so much on having to run these big light systems or whatever in our home. Therefore, when the technology does get to us in solar and windmills and all that kind of stuff, it's not so hard to make the switch because the systems in your homes are kind of already set up for it. So I like the idea a lot. It's the first I've heard that there is no cost to the consumer, so I like that as well.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't believe. I started, you know, I've always been interested in just like you're saying, in the solar and the windmills and everything. We can't put windmills out here.
Yeah.
Too big.
Yeah, but, for sure. Right.
And like you said, the cost effectiveness of putting panels up is so expensive.
Yep.
But when Sunrun come around and we started talking, and it's been going on this whole program with me for a couple months, but we finally got everything organized, and my town in Lake in the Hills has agreed with it, and they inspected everything.
I wonder if it's a pilot program is what I'm wondering. I wonder if your village signed up with ComEd as a pilot.
It sounds like it, because that's a big cost for those panels, and ComEd is going to reap benefits from that if they get enough, because they get the energy back, like you were saying.
Yep.
So I definitely think it's going to be that. And a lot of municipalities right now won't allow those panels on your roofs yet. And they're going to have to come around at some point, and the panels are going to become more visually appealing. So it's just a process that's going to go through.
I also think there is some rewiring on there, too, because I don't think the average home's meter will allow you to backfeed the system.
So
to push electricity back to the lines, I think there's some rework that has to happen on that as well.
Mitch,
they did put a new meter on, and they wired everything from the outside. I don't even have nothing's connected to my fuse box in the house.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to call back in a couple years and let us know
how everything for sure.
Went.
Yeah. Good luck with it, for sure.
Do you have a Wi-Fi thermostat that you're using with all this?
I do not.
Okay, good. That's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home on your smartphone from American Weather Makers, a 60-minute call. 855-955-HVAC. Hang out on the line. And you're listening to House Smarts Radio. We'll take more of your calls, 312-981-7200.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Taking your calls, 312-981-7200. We're going to take one more before we got new to Lou 2, new to Dave 2, we're going to call it today. Tom, you're on 720 WGN. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hi. I have a question. You know, in the summertime, running the air conditioner, Lou always says to run the fan in addition, you know, to circulate the air. And I was just wondering, since we have the polar vortex coming up, if that same theory applies in the winter time, you know, to just run the fan manually.
Sorry, I'm not on again. Here I am. I'm a big fan of running your furnace fan all the time. I think that it does keep the house more comfortable, and I think that it keeps every room at the same temperature, because whether the furnace is producing heat or not, it's at least circulating the same air so that you don't have the shutting off, turning back on, shutting off, turning back on, because some rooms have heat loss faster than others. And so keeping the same air circulating all the time, I think, is a good idea.
It also benefits if you got a two-story home, because that heat is going to be rising. And when the furnace kicks off, the upstairs is going to get warmer and downstairs is going to get colder. So if you have that fan circulating it, it keeps that temperature more consistent.
There's no harm in doing that 24/7.
I actually think it's better for it because it's constantly running. It's not turning on and turning off.
Yeah, motors starting is where they get the most abuse. Once they're running, they're fine. It's that startup.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Yep, appreciate it, buddy.
Yep, I would turn on. And for those that don't know, that's on your thermostat. There is there's a fan switch, and if it's on auto, that means it comes on and off as the furnace is producing heat. If you just switch it to on, the fan runs all the time.
Very cool. Thanks for that, man. Yep. We've got a new to Lou 2. We'll do a new to Dave 2 segment this morning. It's called the Socket Shelf. Let's take a listen.
Everyone needs more room, whether it's in the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the kitchen. We've just got so much stuff, and most of that stuff these days needs to be plugged in. Your iPad, your tablet, your phones, anything that needs to be charged, and you just always seem to be running out of spaces. This weekend's new to Lou 2 is the Socket Shelf. The Socket Shelf creates shelf space and adds outlets and USBs to any room. No installations required. You just stick it in the existing mounted outlets. It gives you an additional 6 power outlets, adds 2 USBs, and creates extra shelf space over the top of that outlet. The perfect charging station for bedrooms, offices, keeps items off the countertops in bathrooms, kitchens, and it's only $30. And there's a super special deal where you buy one, you get one. Check it out at buysocketshelf.com. That's buysocketshelf.com. That's this week's new to Lou 2.
There you have it. And you know what? When we were talking, Lindsay and I were talking yesterday, we were trying to figure out something. We had a couple ideas going around, and this popped up on my iPhone, just as like on my Facebook page as an advertisement. And I think about my kids are plugged in all over the house, and there's just piles of electronics just sitting on the floor or sitting on a shoebox on the floor, right? I mean, just to get it off the floor. And this is really very cool. And there's a lot of products out there like this, but the Socket Shelf is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are quite a few. That one had a pretty large shelf on it.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Because some of them are a little smaller.
Yeah. Some of them are more of just for a phone.
So this is literally connecting it to your outlet or plugging it into your outlet, and then it has a little shelf on top of it. So when you're on the floor and you want to put your iPad, your iPhone on it, it's very easy to display it up there. But I think there's also things you can buy that don't add extra outlets it's just a shelf.
Yeah, I saw some that's just a shelf underneath or above, and it really didn't affect the outlet.
It's like a wall plate with the shelf built into it, right?
And then there's other ones that have multiple, you know, you can increase from the 2 plugs to 6 plugs. So, yeah, there's quite a few versions out there.
I like it for the bathroom and the kitchen, you know, because in the bathroom, if you like to listen to the radio or whatever through your phone in the bathroom, it gives a place to put it as opposed to on the counter where it might fall in the sink. So I think in those applications, and the fact that it has a USB charger, I think is a bonus for sure.
Yeah, so it adds 2 USBs. Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
But USBs, you know, not all of the electronic equipment wants the same. And that's what I worry about, because they say sometimes the amperage is a little different.
Right.
It could burn out your battery. I think I'd rather put it in the charger that comes with the unit.
And just plug it in normally.
Yeah.
And then just have it sit on top. Okay, I like that. I like that. Easy to install. That's easy for me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to
plug
do electrical.
You can
right?
do that,
you
Dave.
Plug it. I can actually do that.
You install electricity yourself, Dave. Come on.
I know. What's really funny is we talk about this all the time when I like tell my friends, my cousins, my family, I'm filling in for Lou Manfredini. They're like, why? You can't fix anything. I'm like, well, I got these
no
experts. I know who to call, and I know how to go online and do some basic stuff.
That's
I do that. I'm not an idiot, but but I do. Doing electrical work. You know, I would rather have an expert. Do that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people would.
Do we have her on the line? What line is she on? Go ahead, get on the line. Tell me where she's at. She's at line six. Okay. I'm sorry. There we go. Andrea Darlis, you there?
Hey, I am.
Hey, how
are you?
How you doing?
Good morning.
We miss you. This is Mike.
Well, I miss you guys. I'm having fun in the snow.
Well, that's what I just saw.
Girl.
That's what I just saw. So I'm looking outside. And I've been trying to get, you know, obviously Mike Hammernick's a little busy in the weather center, as everybody else is over there. And I saw you were in the snow at Horner Park. What's it looking like out there?
Oh, my God, it's a winter wonderland. I'm not kidding you. Kids are already showing up to go sledding. I learned how to make a snow angel. I don't know if you saw that, too. The proper way.
There's a proper way.
You know what's funny?
The proper way.
Yeah, but here's the thing. My kids can't get up for school on time, but they're out playing in the park at 7:30 in the morning.
That sounds right.
Oh, my God, I know. It's hilarious. And, it's cold, obviously. It's snowing. It's probably at 6 to 8 inches more on top of this hill. Which is where I'm standing right now, and these kids are loving it.
That's
loving
awesome.
It. I'm loving it too. I got to say, but this
parents
is
a, are loving
this
it too.
Is a great
Go out and play.
Hill. I never heard of this hill.
Okay, so now you're one of my neighbors now. So traveling from where we are to Horner Park, what was the traffic like for you this morning?
It was okay. It took me about an extra 10 minutes, which isn't too
bad. Yeah,
but the driving was very cautious, as it should be. You know, and I saw the plows were out and about. The city salt trucks are out. They're doing their jobs. Stay out of their way and let them get their jobs done and take it slow. There's no rush today.
Absolutely. But that's a fun little gig. So I don't know if people know this, but you do obviously Saturday and Sunday mornings, right, on WGN TV. You kind of do the around town kind of segment.
I do, yeah. We do the weekend break. And so I got the fun assignment. So I had to cover snow. But something fun in the snow. And actually, Pete McMurray told me about Horner Park. He said, this is my hood. You have to get there. The kids are going to be sledding and snowball fighting by 7 a.m. I said, are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. That really surprises me that there's early in the morning, there's kids out there playing.
Yeah. You got to get out there when it's fresh snow before it all gets packed down.
Yeah.
Right. There's a bunch of them. And the little girl who just taught me to make a snow angel is now pushing her mom down the hill on a sled.
And her mom's protesting?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's a blast. It's so pretty. Standing on top of this hill and just seeing all the snow continue to fall. As long as we don't have to be out shoveling and snow blowing it ourselves. Right now, this is one of the most beautiful places to be in the city.
See, and you know what? The fact that it happened on a Saturday morning, you know, I guess you can't beat that. There's not a lot of people, obviously, going out as a weekday during rush hour going to work. So being able to get outside, play in the snow, and take your kids out and enjoy the weather, that's the big goal for today.
This is the best as well. This woman is walking her little terrier. He's a little Westie, a little white dog. And it's so funny to see him romping in the snow. It looks like one big giant snowball.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, thanks for calling in and joining in. Now, hey, you got a new show, by the way, while we got you on the air here. You got a new show that airs Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that real quick?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. No other station is doing anything like this. It's called Andrea and the Reporters. And every Monday night at 7 o'clock, unless there's a Hawks game, then it's Tuesday at 7. We have different reporters, from all over the city. Coming up this week, we had John Cass. Last week, we had Stacey St. Clair. Week before, we had Anna DeVantis, Ryan Burrow. It's just reporters from all over the city, and we talk about news of the day. But what's so interesting are our backstories, stories we cover, and the stories that got away, and the stories we're still chasing. And what drove all of us to become reporters and journalists? And it's just a wonderful discussion. And we have some of the greatest reporters and journalists here in the city of Chicago. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to get to sit down and talk with them every week.
Awesome. Very cool. We'll be tuning in. Thanks for joining us, man. And stay. Have some fun.
See you later.
All right. See you, Andrea. All right. We'll be right back at 7:20.
Bye, guys. Do the virtual snowball.
Okay. We'll do that. All right, we'll see you in a bit.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
And it's Dave Plyer in for Lou this morning, along with Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry, Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. We're taking your calls at 312-981-7200. This half hour is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And let's take a listen to Sally. You're on 720 WGN. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Dave. I just wondered with the settings on the thermostat, what that does when you leave the fan at auto in terms of electrical costs and in terms of fuel costs. I imagine the fuel costs would be much lower because it would remain the same temperature.
Well, you're not changing the temperature in the house. The furnace will still kick on when needed to keep that temperature that you have the thermostat set at. The fan is the only thing that's continued to run. And the biggest cost in the fan is when it starts up, because it takes the most energy to start up. And then once it's running, it drops the energy usage down. You're going to spend more money running the fan than if it kicks on and off, but very minimal.
Okay, because they've been told to just have it run when it ran.
Well,
it's on manual.
Yeah, what we were talking about is keeping the house more comfortable. So you may pay a little bit more money, but you're keeping the temperature more consistent throughout the whole house. Where, if you look at a furnace, it's on off all the time. So it'll get hot, and then the furnace shuts off, and then it gets cold, and then it'll turn on, and it'll get hot. So it's constantly going up and down. If you have the fan running, what you're doing is circulating that air, especially on the second floor. You're circulating it all throughout the house, so you're going to keep a more consistent temperature. That's all.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
That's a great idea.
Thanks, Sally, for the call. Appreciate it. All right, Gary, you're on 720 WGN, calling in from Westmont. What's your question, pal?
Okay. Lou Manfredini always talks about this salt that you put on the roof to melt, and if you don't have the de-icer wires. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I have a four-season sunroom, and it's not from typical shingles. It's aluminum. It's either aluminum or fiberglass roof. Will that salt hurt the roof? Like on the shingles, it won't, like he said, but I'm wondering, would it do some damage? Because I want to put it in the gutters, too, because I can't put the icer up there because it's nothing to attach it to.
You know, I would say, if anything, contact the manufacturer to confirm, but I would think you'd be fine on aluminum, because if it's designed to put on a roof, it's going to end up in the gutters. So
yeah,
if it did affect aluminum, everybody would be complaining that their gutters are rotting out. The other concern would be the fiberglass. I doubt fiberglass, but if you had polycarbonate panel ceiling to it, that might do something. It could even etch it.
Okay.
That would just be my guess.
Do you remember what the salt was? I have
Jim, that's yours. He always remembers these technical terms.
What type of salt?
Yeah.
Yeah, magnesium chloride.
That's it.
Wow. Impressive.
That's why you're the gold star today.
Nice
you're
work.
As good as Lou.
Don't let him hear that.
So you don't have to remember that. I usually think of, if it's friendly for pets, it's friendly for your roof as well. That's how I think of it.
Yeah. I got 20 pounds of that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Gary.
Chloride.
Yep.
All right. Thank you much.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It, buddy. All right. Have a great day. Stay safe out there. Kara, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I have an odd question. I'm glad the lady called about the bugs, because I wasn't sure if this was something you could help me with. Yesterday, I discovered that we have some critters living in my mother-in-law's house, and I tried to contact animal control, and they said they don't handle that because they're not domesticated animals. And so I contacted a couple of different places to have them taken away, and they want an initial fee of $300 and then $50 for each raccoon that they find.
Okay. Are they
so
in
I
your...
I wanted to find out if you gentlemen could steer me in the right direction.
Are they in the attic?
Go. They came in through the eave in the front of the house.
Okay.
And now they're in the wall.
Okay.
Oh,
All right. That gets a little tougher, but you know, they're going to come out at night. That's when they're kind of the busiest. What you try to do is come evening. This is something I've tried, and it seems to have worked. Ammonia and like cayenne pepper. I actually use, I like pepper, so I have this really hot pepper sauce that I use.
Yeah.
And you mix those two together and put them in a spray bottle. Put gloves on and eye protection. But once you know they're out of the attic, spray that around the attic, especially the area that you think that they're coming in. Just spray a bunch of it in there and leave it. You can also leave your attic light on and put a radio up in the attic because they don't like the noise.
On 720 WGN.
Yes, on 720.
Right, exactly. They do like Dave.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. If they like Dave, then you can't have Dave show up.
Yeah.
But they have very sensitive pads on their legs, feet, hands. And they don't like the pepper, and the ammonia is really tough on their eyes. So they get that bad vibe, and they kind of stay away. So that would be the first thing. Then, once you know they're not in your attic anymore, you want to seal up everything again.
Okay.
So they can't get back in.
Okay. And then do you recommend trying to trap them, going and buying the traps once they're out and removing them from the area?
No, I wouldn't try trapping them only because they can be pretty vicious when they're cornered. You're better off just getting them out of the house and then sealing it off.
And then scaring them with the ammonia and all of that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I didn't get that suggestion at all yesterday. So.
I'm right near Nature Preserve. What I do regularly is my downspouts. I spray some of that on my downspouts because that's usually how they get up onto the roof is climb up the downspouts. And as soon as they start getting that on their paws, they're like, I'll go to the neighbor's house.
Right. That's easier.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks the call, Kara. Appreciate it. Absolutely.
And you have a good day now.
You too. Stay warm. So we are going to take more of your calls, 312-981-7200. And I have, in this next 15 minutes, I'm going to give away a three-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. Visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. It's $139 value. I'll give that to one of our callers in the next 10 minutes or so. Also, coming up at 8:30, we're going to take a little break from the calls. We're going to talk to Jonathan Scott, one of the Scott brothers from the Property Brothers. They just launched their 13th season. He's always got some interesting stories to share. We'll talk to him. Maybe it'll motivate you to stay inside and paint the walls and brighten up your home. We'll figure that out next on 720.
Look out, husbands.
I know. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
And it's Dave Plyer and for Lou this morning, and we'll be taking more of your calls and texts, 312-981-7200. Also coming up in the 8:30 half hour is Jonathan Scott from the Property Brothers from HGTV. They're just doing their they're doing their 13th season. We'll talk to them. And then Weber Grill's going to come in. I know it's a snowy day, but why not shovel a path to that grill and throw some steaks on tonight? We'll talk about some maintenance tips and some winter grilling tips as well. All right, it's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
How about a hands-free faucet? Talk about an amazing innovation. Tom got these touch-activated pull-down sprayer faucets. All you have to do is tap it with your wrist or your forearm to turn it on if your hands are dirty or, in my case, most of the time, holding a child. How awesome is that? It's a single hole, easy to install with a high arch, perfect for washing those big old pots. It's sleek looking and comes in different finishes. Being able to find quality, all brass construction at a great competitive price is why I'm always checking out what's new at Builders Supply Outlet. You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN.
And it's Dave Plyer in for Lou this morning, along with Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. We're going to take one last call before the break here. Bob, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you. Bob, you there, buddy?
He's out on his deck.
Oh, he's out on his deck. Hold on, Bob. Hello. You there, bud? Hey, how are you, Bob?
Good, good. Need a little advice on decking boards. I've...
in process of, you know, when the weather gets better, I'll complete removing all my horizontal deck boards that you walk on, and I want to replace them. And I'm thinking about some sort of a pressure-treated lumber, and I read about ground contact, above ground, AC2, and so forth, and would appreciate a little advice on, you know, how to distinguish all that.
The ground contact, that's typically if you're going to be setting anything that's directly into or in contact with the ground, obviously. So if you've got a ground level deck and you have your floor joists are going to be actually sitting on ground, you're going to want the ground contact. The deck boards, typically, it's going to be just a pressure treated lumber. It doesn't necessarily have to be below ground. All of those types of decks are treated with a chemical. They're put into a tank, and the pressure is boosted up to actually drive the chemical into the lumber. So if you get some lumber from the store and you're starting to cut it and it's just draining fluid out of it, it's probably just come out of the vat not too long ago. It needs a season to dry, you know, if you're going to seal it or do anything else with it, because it comes so moist, they want you to let it go through one season first before you put a sealer onto it, although you shouldn't need to, at least for quite a while with pressure treated. Did that answer what you're...
Yeah, one other question along the same line. So I am looking to stain the lumber with a Sickens mahogany-type stain, semi-transparent. And would there be any benefit before I fasten the boards to treating both sides, you know, with the stain, or is that kind of overkill?
It's like I was saying, they want you to let it season 1 year first because it's going to be moist and it's not going to take. The lumber's already got enough moisture in it. So you're really, unless you want to take that lumber and stack it in your yard with air spaces between it and then cover it, you know, from rain for a season, you're not really going to be able to do that staining of it prior.
Sure, not a practical idea then.
So
if I get it put down, let's say in May, I'm really looking at a spring a year from then, when I can realistically
let it go 1 year.
Put a sealer on it.
Yep. And then you can stain it to whatever. One thing you can note, though, on the decking, there are different thicknesses. So depending on what your spacing of your joists are, you want to make sure that you have adequate strength between. So I like the 5/4 board, so they're actually an inch thick. Some of them are an inch and an eighth, but I've seen some that are more like 7/8 of an inch thick. And so you have to look. You'll see piles of it at the lumber yards. There's a difference. Make sure you get the thicker, or I recommend getting the thicker. It's going to have less bounce to it.
Sure. I also had considered the composite materials, but then I read that they need 12-inch on center joists versus the 16-inch that I currently have, and that pretty much, for me, shuts down the idea of...
That's depending on the product and the direction. If you're running the boards on a 45-degree angle from your floor joists, they do recommend 12. Most will recommend 12. If you're running perpendicular to them, most of them can handle 16.
I see.
But, you know, if you're going with a cheaper version, you may have to go closer on the spacings of the floor joists.
Right. All things considered, I think I'll just stick with the regular wood and treated wood and, you know, not go triple the price for the composite. And
some things to think about, though. You're talking now you're going to want to seal it next year, so you're gonna have to go through that process. And even though it is pressure treated, you do have to seal it every year or two, just to keep it from drying out. The composites, you don't, once you put them in, you're pretty much done.
Right. So no, I understand. So it's I'm gonna revisit it all, but I'm kind of leaning in a direction of the pressure treated. But thank you very much for your advice, and I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. Thanks for calling in, Bob. We appreciate it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk to Jonathan Scott from the Property Brothers HGTV. They just kicked off their 13th season. Got a bunch of stuff to give away, so stick on the lines, 312-981-7200. And in the 9 o'clock half hour, we're going to talk to Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill. We're going to talk about some winter grilling tips, and he's got a bunch of stuff to give away, so we'll do that as well. All right, welcome back to House Smarts Radio. It's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini this morning, and we'll be taking your calls again at 312-981-7200. But first, fresh off a particularly challenging round of brother versus brother, the ever-intrepid Scott brothers are back with an all-new season of their signature series, The Property Brothers. Brand new episodes airing every Wednesday at 8 Central on HGTV, and Jonathan Scott joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and congrats on the Property Brothers 13th season. You know, you've been in the house renovation business for decades, but it was when you were like 7 years old, I think, that your dad told you to go get a job at seven. I love this story.
Yeah. I don't know if that happens everywhere, but, you know, at our house, we grew up in a ranch, and, you know, it's not a free ride. Like, we had to work on the ranch, and, you know, we had to pull our own weight, but that was the rule in our house, is when we turn seven, you have to get a job. You have to learn work ethic from someone other than just my dad. And so we started working as clowns. We found this ad from Parks and Rec, Learn to Be a Clown, and we took a workshop with them, and they started hiring us to do parades and stuff like that. And before you knew it, we were doing birthday parties. Totally unexpected.
That's totally cool. I love that. Well, you know, and your family.
Are you telling me that you don't have in your history, you weren't a clown at some point? That's not normal?
Oh, I was a clown, but I was probably an unpaid clown in the classroom. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. And your family also followed this version of a cowboy code, and I love this because it really kind of set the tone, I think, for really how you developed in your teen years and through today, is take pride in every task, no matter how big or small, finish whatever you start, never break a promise, don't turn your back on someone in need, and ride for your brand. So, I mean, these are some pretty serious things to be teaching a young kid, but you followed these.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of that country. You know, if you've ever been in the country and you meet people, you're like, wow, they're so friendly. Everybody's so friendly. And people actually stick to their word. That's what I loved. And that was really what was instilled in us. You know, if we give our word on something, it doesn't matter if it ends up being a harder task than we imagined. You still stick to your word and you still finish what you started. And it was important. And we still do that today with everything. You know, every single homeowner we work with on the shows, if we say we're going to do something, we actually usually say we like to surprise and delight, and we, you know, always come through with even more and in a shorter timeline than what we said we were going to do.
That's pretty cool. And those are, you know, as long as you stay dedicated to that and you remind yourself every day, those are great words to live by.
Exactly. And, you know, the fortunate thing for us, when you read these stories in the book and, you know, there's a whole chapter that's on our band of brothers, all of our friends, our best friends, and, you know, still to this day, every single one of our friends says it's so funny because they'll see us on the cover of People magazine. They'll see, you know, Drew on GMA when he announced Dancing with the Stars. All this. We're the exact same guys that we were 20 years ago before any of this happened.
That's very cool. That's good. That's good to hear. But they must have known, though, by your drive, that they were going to see you on the front cover of a magazine on a newsstand somewhere,
yeah.
Right?
I actually remember when I was in high school, I think I was about grade 10, and I remember my physical education teacher said to me at one point, he's like, you guys, I'm telling you right now, you guys are going to be famous, because there's no way that you guys will just settle for some small-time job in this small town. And, you know, we had big, lofty goals. We're ambitious kids and admittedly overachievers, but we knew that there was a path to do it without stepping on people along the way. And we're very, very proud that the work we've put in has paid off.
You had, at 18 years old, you bought your first property. So what got you guys from doing more entertaining and the magic and the acting and the directing? What did you say about homes and flipping homes? Like, when did that come into play?
No, it wasn't even on our radar. I mean, we'd grown up on a ranch, so we were handy, you know, building barns and mending fences and all of that. I built our house with my dad when I was 14 years old. And when we're coming out of high school, we thought to ourselves, you know, we don't want to be struggling artists. You know, why don't we do something? Why don't we invest in real estate? So we read every book we possibly could, got the infomercials for making millions with no money down. Most of it was misinformation, but we managed to buy our very first house at 18, and we were only $250 out of pocket to buy it. We took over the person's mortgage and fixed it up, and a year later, we made a 50 grand profit when we sold it, and that's the most money we had ever had in hand in our lives.
Yeah, that
and
is,
it was wild.
That probably motivated you and said, hey, I'm going to do
this. Oh, the light bulb went on. That's when we did that, you know, the first thing instantly that goes through your head is, do we go to the club and pop a bottle and just make it rain, or do we reinvest it in something else?
Right.
Fortunately, keep we growing. Reinvested it.
Yeah, keep growing it. Now, siblings, and you know, you guys are twins, married couples, people who work together that are family, they have a hard time sometimes. So what makes your relationship and your friendship with your brother dispel some of those myths? I mean, what keeps it real for you guys?
Well, people say you can't work with family, and we've been proving that wrong since we started our first business together at 7. So for us, we have a no BS policy. If there is something that's bothering us, we get it out now so that it doesn't fester into something larger than it has to be. And that's just always worked for us. You know, we do have our disagreements. We do have our arguments. But we also recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses, and it just works. It's the same with JD, our older brother. JD works with us on a lot of things that we do.
Yeah, I saw that.
Our whole family is very close.
Yeah, you're all in. Your folks, too. Everybody's into this whole business, which is really, really cool. So you guys continue to flip houses, but you were also interested in doing this for an audience. So when did you kind of mix the entertainment part of what you did earlier in your life and the real estate ventures that you were going into? What propelled you to say, let's put this on television?
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, we were actors as kids, did some TV, and it was never on our radar to host a show. And when we started flipping houses, did our first one, did our second one, we realized that we could make an actual business out of this, and we're making good money. So we licensed her as a real estate agent. I actually left business school, went to college for construction design, we then formed a company and ran that for 10 years. Before Drew kind of got that itch and was like, oh, I miss acting. And so he started going out for more auditions. But at this point, and with his experience now as a realtor, he started getting put out as a host for real estate shows. And he was approached to do a show. They're like, yeah, we want to cast you for a show called Realtor Idol.
Yeah, it was an Idol
show.
Like
American Idol for realtors.
I love that.
And I was like, that's the dumbest idea in the world. And fortunately, that went nowhere. But when they found out he had a brother that was a designer and a contractor, they pitched us on doing a show, which became Property Brothers.
But see, what I love
so
is that you're
completely off our radar.
But you're completely honest with your brother about it. I mean, I'm assuming you guys wouldn't let each other do something that, you know, could hurt you personally, hurt the brand of the Scott brothers. You know, that brutal honesty is probably one of those things that keeps things together.
Yeah, if you want, I mean, I laugh because when Drew really was making a push to do his acting, he actually appeared in a naked zombie movie. And I said to him, like, oh, exactly, is this going to happen? How is this going to help your brand? And anyway, but no, fortunately now we're very aware of our brand and strategic how we grow. And I think that's the success, too. Our fans watch the show and they realize we don't take ourselves too seriously. We have fun at what we're doing. When we started doing our show, nobody did shows like this because, you know, a lot of the design shows were a little bit too serious. And I think people were afraid to have that kind of fun. And that's why, you know, husbands, wives, kids, we have 5-year-old kids that stop us on the street and say, oh my gosh, Property Brothers, we love you guys. And, you know, it's nice to see the whole family can watch it because I think there's a lot of content on TV right now, especially in politics. It's not fun to watch, and it's nice to have an escape to something that's family-friendly.
And if the shows and everything else you're doing isn't enough, you've got this furniture and decor line called Scott Living. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have developed a whole series of products from, you know, what we do at QVC and at Lowe's and Costco.com, you name it. And it's all furniture and decor and elements for the home that we really think take it up a notch. Again, we really listen to our fans. We listen to the families that are on our shows. And we also attend every design conference that's out there to make sure that we're on the cutting edge of what's coming down the pipeline.
That's cool.
And so the products we've created are always at a better price point than you'd anticipate. They're a level above in the quality, and it's something that we think people should raise the bar a little when it comes to their home. Your home should make your life easier, and that's what's reflected in everything we design.
Well, very cool. And you can catch the 13th season of The Property Brothers Wednesdays at 8 Central on HGTV. Jonathan, thanks for taking the time, and enjoy your Saturday, buddy.
No problem. Have a great one.
All right. More of your calls and texts, 312-981-7200. You're listening to House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. We've got some pretty rough weather out there. I know IDOT and the roads are getting cleared, but the blowing snow keeps throwing the snow back on the expressways and all the side streets. So definitely be careful out there. Don Kleppen's in the newsroom. What are some of the snow totals that we're seeing out there right now, pal?
Yeah, Dave, it's kind of varied, as you mentioned, with the snow blowing it around. It's been fluctuating most of the day, but McHenry and Lake counties getting the highest totals for the most part. For Lake County, you're talking about like 4 inches for Gray's Lake, but out in Lake Zurich, it's like 9.8. Lindenhurst got 9. Long Lake, it's 8 inches. And then in Lee County, Ashton had 12 inches of snow so far. In McHenry, there's 13.1 for Bull Valley. That's one of the higher totals so far. In McHenry, in general, there's just about 11 inches. In Woodstock, 11.5. For Ogle, Mount Morris, 12.5 inches. Oregon, 11.2. Rochelle, 12 inches of snow. And then in Will County, that one's not too bad. Winnebago, Pecatonica, which is a place I'm not familiar with, 13.5 inches there, though.
In wow.
Rockford Airport, 11.7. And then 12 for Rockford overall.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you, Mike Hammernick will be joining us in about 10 minutes live from the WGN Weather Center. We'll talk to him about what to expect the rest of the day, because I know we've got some blowing, drifting snow. We've got temperatures that are going to drop. We've also got some lake effect snow that's going to be coming in now through tomorrow, so we'll catch that as well. Thanks, Don. I appreciate that.
Yeah, anytime.
You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN.
And we're back to taking your calls, 312-981-7200. Tom from the Northwest Side, how much snow you got out there so far, pal?
We got too much.
too much.
About to go out and start snow blowing.
Yeah.
We must have about 8 inches here, 6-8 inches.
Yeah, be careful. That stuff's still blowing around. I mean, you might be doing it again in another 3-4 hours. So
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so what's your question today, pal?
My question, I'm looking at replacing my hot water tank, and I hear a lot about the tankless hot water systems, and I'm wondering, they're more expensive to put in, but is it a better deal overall than the traditional hot water tanks?
So I'm a fan of tankless hot water heaters. I've had one in my house since 2007 in two different homes. So we're a family of five, and we never run out of hot water, which is a great thing. And to answer your question, though, it's there is an initial investment for sure, but the downside or the upside is that over time, it will pay for itself for several reasons. Number one, the standard hot water heater, average life of them right now is 7 to 10 years for a standard tanked hot water heater. And most of the heat exchanger warranties on tankless units go for 20 years. So you'll replace your standard hot water heater twice in the time that a tankless is still under warranty. So that's number one. And then the other obvious one is that you're only making hot water when you're using hot water. So the rest of the time, you're not storing hot water at 120 degrees in a big tank just in case you might need it. So
so really, it sounds like long-term, it's a much better system.
I think so. Like I said, I would personally, having had it in two homes now, I would never go back to a standard water heater. I just think that it's a much better way to go with a tankless unit. Now, with that said, because I'm sure I'll get some texts from some plumbers out there. With that said, it does depend on your house setup. So if you live in an older house and like some of your shower heads are not newer, meaning that they're running at more than 2.5 gallons per minute, some people can have some some issues with the hot water heater not being able to keep up. So you definitely had to do a little research and a little surveying of your current home just to make sure you get the right fit. But once it's in and it's sized properly and everything for your needs, like I said, I think it's a good way to go.
Yeah, well, I actually had the pipes replaced. I have copper now,
mm-hmm.
and all my, like the bathrooms and the kitchen are relatively close to where the tank would be or the tankless system would be. So maybe I'm a good candidate for it.
Yeah, and kind of where most people run into trouble is if they have a large, like, jacuzzi style tub in their home, you know, like a large two person hot tub, and if they have a high flow faucet there, that might be, you know, itself putting out like, or able to handle, you know, 6-7 gallons per minute. That can be mm-hmm. a little bit of a problem for a tankless unit, but under normal conditions, most people don't have any issues with them at all.
That's part of the research too,
to
get the right size unit for your home.
Yep.
And just one other thing, and I give Jim a hard time on this. It's not a hot water heater.
Tankless hot water heater? You get me on that every time. It's so automatic for me to say hot water heater.
That's funny. All right, I'll tell you what, Tom. I've got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. And if you'll hang on the line, I'll have our buddy get your information, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Oh, hey, by the way, did you know it's National Popcorn Day today?
I heard that.
So
somebody just told me that.
So here's the thing. Anyone, and this is amazing to me, because you know how long the lines are at Garrett's Popcorn.
Yes.
On any given day. And I know it's snowy today.
Even in the snow, I'm sure.
Even in the snow. So anyone today can get a free small bag of their Garrett mix, which I believe is the Chicago mix, caramel and the cheese. Yeah. Popcorn all day today at any of their 12 locations. So it's free small bag at any Garrett's Popcorn to celebrate National Popcorn Day. So let's head over there after this.
I love it.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, sounds good. And why we have the winter storm warning is effective, of course, until noon today, and there's going to be blowing, drifting snow and all that other good stuff. Some lake effect snow coming. I thought we'd check in live with Mike Hammernick from the WGN Weather Center for the very latest. Good morning to you, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I am fabulous. Looking outside, it was a little rough going coming in here, but it's not over yet. I mean, this is going to continue for quite some time.
Yeah, the system snow will be winding down over the next 2, 3, 4 hours. I think the northern suburbs are pretty much over with the system snow. Still seeing some snow in the city and the south suburbs in northwest Indiana until about noon. And then the system will actually move off to the east, and lake effect will kick in this afternoon and especially tonight. But we're only looking at maybe an additional inch this morning, less than an inch this afternoon on top of what we already have. But it's the lake effect tonight and tomorrow that needs to be watched, because a few local spots could end up with an additional 3, 4, 5 inches of snow, especially in northwest Indiana. It could get real dicey tomorrow afternoon in northwest Indiana. But overall, the general trend will be improving road conditions here in Chicago. It's not going to be perfect or ideal, because we'll still see some very light snow from time to time, and the blowing and drifting snow will continue. But overall, it's, again, not ideal driving conditions, but they will improve this afternoon.
Snow totals are a little bit higher than I think everyone expected. We kind of went on the low end, 3 to 5, 4 to 8 inches, but the snow totals around the city and the suburbs are quite high, I think, especially in the northern suburbs, right?
Yeah, the northern suburbs, definitely the highest totals, from 8.5 inches in Lake Geneva to around 8 inches in Algonquin. And then they drop off the further south you go. Officially at O'Hare, this isn't the final number, but 3.9 inches of snow there. And as we head into northwest Indiana, only about 2 inches of snow down there. In the southwest suburbs, about 4 inches. So definitely heavier snow north, a lighter total south. But like I said, we're not completely done yet. But the main snows that we had overnight, they're starting to pull off to the east.
And we've got the temperatures that are going to start dropping. So today we're getting close to 30, but, I mean, we're going to see 14, 10. I mean, it's going to start getting a little chilly here this next week.
Yeah, definitely much colder. This morning it was 38 degrees below zero in International Falls. And that's not the wind chill. That's the actual thermometer. They came within 2 degrees of a record there, which when you're getting records in January in International Falls, that's a pretty big deal. So we'll get a chunk of that cold air tonight and tomorrow. and into Monday. Not quite as cold as that, fortunately, but it's going to be chilly out there. Wind chills around zero by evening, and they'll stay at or below zero tonight through most of the day tomorrow. So it's kind of 1-2 punch, the snow today and then the cold air tomorrow. But it's that cold air that's going to stir up those lake effect snows in northwest Indiana tomorrow, too.
I'd rather have this happen on the weekend, so thank God it's a Saturday.
Yeah, that's definitely not as big of an impact as far as traveling and getting around when you get these storms on the weekend. But looking ahead, it doesn't look like anything major next week, although we'll have to watch for some ice and snow on Tuesday, but it doesn't look like as big of a storm as what we're dealing with today.
Very good. Mike, thanks for jumping in. I appreciate it, pal.
Anytime, Dave.
All right, have a great day. All right.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
All right, and it's Dave in for Lou this morning on House Smarts Radio, taking your calls, questions, problems, issues, 312-981-7200. I'm here with Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. We introduced you in the beginning of the show. You guys have been filling in and doing this for the better part of a couple decades, but just give us a little bit about your company once again.
Mike? Creative Carpentry Remodelers, Inc., out of Bolingbrook, creativecarpentry.net, and been handling the suburbs there for putting on 30 years now, I think.
Very cool. Very cool, Jim.
Yep. Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises. We are in the Hinsdale area, and we're going on 25 years, I think. So we're a little behind Mike here. trying to catch up.
Yeah.
TateEnt.com is our website.
TateEnt.com.
Yep, thank
you. And here's the man of the hour, a guy that's been waiting on hold forever. It's Terry. Terry, you're on 720 WGN. You're sitting in the basement smoking a cigar right now?
No, it's Jerry, and I'm in my man cave in the garage smoking, but I don't mind waiting.
Jerry, okay. Having a little cigar this morning. I like that. I like that. You got a question. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
I put a float switch in my ejector pump, and when it starts to empty at the bottom and shuts off, there's a large banging sound.
Is this a sump pump or ejector pit?
Ejector pump.
Okay. And is the noise the pipe? Because most likely when all of the fluid's going up and then that valve shuts off, that water comes back down and slams onto the valve there, and sometimes that's what makes the noise. So when it makes that noise, are all your pipes shaking?
No, actually, it's below level and naturally. So the only time is when the wife is washing it, it bangs every time it fills up and empties. But I could check in and see if the pipes are rattling.
Okay.
One thing to try too, and again, this would require is not an easy fix, but what you can try is to try moving. You have to take it apart, but move the check valve higher up. So what's happening, like Mike said, it's also referred to as head pressure. So what happens is the water comes back down when the pump shuts off. It kind of settles back down. And what that noise actually is it's just like Mike said, it's the water pressure coming back down. So if you shorten that distance to where it's actually ejecting, so put it up higher to where it's going into, you'll have less pressure on there. So it won't make as much noise when it closes.
One other thing you mentioned, you replaced the flow switch on that.
Right.
Is it a loose, like a tethered float?
It's on a tether, yes.
Yeah. The only other thing is if that, when it's coming down, it's slamming against the side of the well or the pit.
Okay.
So you might need to adjust a little bit. Maybe that's what you're hearing because you said it's below grade that you're hearing the noise.
Right.
Yeah, so it might just be that float slamming into the side of the pit.
Okay, I got one more quick question. I've got a brass foot rail on my bar, and when I clean it with Brasso, is there anything I can spray on there to keep it from turning the green?
The only thing is some people do clear lacquer.
Clear lacquer?
Yeah,
okay,
spray clear lacquer.
That.
Just to protect it, and that'll hold for a little.
And you'll have to reapply it occasionally because your feet will wear it off. But is this in the man cave, or is this actually in the house?
Family room, okay. But no, there's no chairs there. Okay. Everybody stands there.
I love this. This guy's in his garage having a cigar at 9:15 in the morning, and he's talking about his bar rail.
And it's got to be awesome. A heated garage because he'd be freezing his butt off.
I have a small old propane heater in here.
Okay, you got it all.
I have my coffee and a cigar. All right, I'm going back to my cigar.
Hey, wait a second. Terry, stay on the line for waiting so long. I got an ABT gift card for you, $50 gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at ABT.com. Enjoy the gift card. Enjoy the day, buddy. Enjoy your cigar.
Yeah.
Happy Winter Wonderland.
go pick up a new TV for the garage.
Yeah, go do that. All right. Thanks, Terry, man. I appreciate it. Let's take one more before we head in here. Keith, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you. Keith, are you there? Hey, what's going on, pal? You got a question for the boys?
Yes, please. My basement is finished, and the ground level in the back comes up to maybe a foot below the window, and where the fuse box comes in, it's extremely cold, and I discovered there's no insulation behind the box. And I got some insulation, I stuffed it in from the top, working its way down, only to find out that there was, I guess you'd call it a fire block behind there, so I can only go about halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Could I use the spray foam?
The problem with the spray foam is that you may, if there's other openings in the box, it may start coming into your electrical box. You know what I mean? Because you'll spray it in there and it starts to expand. And if there's any drillings, like for screws or anything like that, it'll start seeping through that. So
right.
The other issue is you know sometimes you can put tape over it, but you're talking about opening up your service panel, and I don't recommend somebody putting their hands in there if they're not qualified to do so.
But I'm not an experienced electrician, but I did have to get in there to run a wire over to my shop so that I could have power.
Yeah. Well,
and I was going to do that from the outside, and the guy at Lowe's said that's illegal. They changed the code. You can't do that anymore.
I haven't heard.
Yeah, apparently too many people didn't want to run the ground wire. I looked them square in the eye and said, that's the first wire I hook up.
Yeah, well, that's required. But you're talking about the insulation. He said that you can't insulate behind your panel?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's...
You were talking about qualified people.
Oh, okay.
I know where not to put my hands.
Okay. Well, I mean, that would be the other option, is use a spray foam, but you have to be very careful with that, because even though you stop spraying it, that stuff keeps expanding, and if it starts expanding into your service panel, you're going to have some problems.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate it, buddy. We're going to be giving away a couple other things. We're going to do 312-981-7200. Keep taking your calls. Mo and Grace, hang on the line. We've got a Never Measure we're going to give away, another desktop indoor weather station, and an app gift card for $50. We'll do that in the 9:30 half hour. But first, we're going to get to Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill, talk about some winter grilling tips, and he's got some stuff to give away. He's got an iGrill maintenance kit, and he's got an actual grill to give away. So we're going to do that next on 720 WGN. All right, and welcome back to House Smarts Radio. It's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini this morning here on 720 WGN. Now, there's snow on the ground, but that shouldn't stop you from firing up the grill. Grilling has become a year-round tradition, even in the coldest climates. It just involves more clothing and better planning. And joining me is the guy who's going to break it all down with us, some cold weather maintenance tips, as he does with me throughout the year. That's Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill. What's going on, buddy?
Dave, thanks for having us. I had to get up extra early today to get my driveway plowed so I can get my grill set up so I can start cooking. So it's been an adventure so far, just like many people in the Chicagoland area, but we have to cook today.
That's right. See, here's the thing, too. People do kind of shut down their grills like in October, and they don't open them back up till like April or May again. And I think that's one of the things that I do in my backyard, is I shovel a path to the alley and I shovel a path to my grill, and we're going to throw some steaks on tonight. But, grilling's become kind of a year-round thing now.
It has, and there's no reason why you should deprive yourself of true happiness when you're grilling on your Weber. So make sure you don't put them away till April. Keep them out.
Yeah.
We got some great things we're going to give away today, one of those being the iGrill 2 that I can sit inside nice and warm, have my grill being monitored by the Bluetooth temperature control, and I can just watch it cook all this great food and sit in the warm and not have to worry about it. So there are some advantages to cooking in the winter that make your life easier, and the iGrill 2 is one of those.
Yeah, this is an app-connected thermometer. That's pretty cool. So, I mean, you're right. You can set it and go inside the house, because peeking in the grill isn't something you want to do anyway, because looking ain't cooking. Isn't that right, my friend?
That's exactly right. See, all these times that we've come on, Dave, you're listening. I'm sure your grilling skills in the backyard have exponentially gotten better, and yes, we want to keep the lids closed as much as possible, especially in the cold weather.
Absolutely. And we're going to give away that iGrill in just a few minutes here, but one of the things, especially in the colder temperatures, what are some tips that you can give folks, especially if they haven't fired up the grill in a couple months?
First, you want to make sure you're clearing a nice path to your grill. One thing that you'll notice is people want to bring them closer to the house, especially when it's cold outside, and you want to make sure you're keeping them at least 10 feet away from any kind of combustible material. So make sure you get yourself a nice clear space. Make sure that you open up the grill, take the grates out, just see if anything's going on in there, make sure the lids are open, turn the control knob on, get the grill fired up, make sure that everything's working properly. Also, in the wintertime, it's nice to have two tanks. I mean, it's always good to have two tanks if you have a gas grill, just because you might run out, but in the wintertime, it is a little bit colder. The grills eat a little more fuel, so it's nice to make sure you got a backup just in case you don't have enough gas to finish that cook.
And never grill in the garage.
Yeah, never grill in the garage.
No, I see people doing it. I see people doing it all the time.
Smoking a cigar, having his coffee and his paper, but you know, keep the grills outside. Maybe the cigar inside, but definitely grills outside.
This time of year, I mean, you always do some pretty cool things. We are a couple weeks away from Super Bowl Sunday, and I know you totally fire up your grill for the big game. It's the biggest food consumption day of the year, next to Thanksgiving. What are you throwing on the grill? Like, what's a Kevin Coleman thing?
Well, we like to make sure we have an endless meat cooler when it comes to the Super Bowl Sunday festivities. So we're going to have brisket. We'll do traditional shoulder. We'll have mini sliders that we're going to cook. We'll have steak skewers, chicken skewers with some great rub on them. We'll probably do a barbecue chicken or pulled pork pizza, depending on how many folks are coming over. And it's one of those, like, I like to spend a little more time on the food before the game, and so that's why I like doing skewers. I like doing mini sliders because I can cook those at halftime. They're nice and easy. They're quick. People can get their food, get out. So a lot of the dips and preparation come before the game, and then I'll do some of that quick hitting stuff at halftime.
That's very smart. Very smart. Now, the weekend for Super Bowl, it's also, even though it's the biggest food consumption day, it's actually the second biggest grilling week of the year after the 4th of July. And I was looking at this. On Super Bowl Sunday, people will be grilling 14 billion hamburgers. Like, hamburgers, the big thing on the grill. And I know you step it up quite a bit when you do this stuff. So, I mean, it's not just about hamburgers for you. I mean, and I think what you just mentioned, too, is the prep work is really important. Is the day before, days before, you want to prep all that stuff. So, literally, you're just grilling on that day.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do is everyone knows it's coming, so it's nice to start preparing yourself. You know, Wednesday, get your game plan, what you're going to be cooking. Thursday or Friday, you go out and shop. Saturday, you can make your patties if you're going to be doing burgers. And this is nice because you can spend a little more time with them. So you can add some onion, you can add some Worcestershire sauce, maybe some barbecue sauce. You can saute some bacon, put the bacon bits inside the burger. But you can formulate a pretty cool game plan before the actual event, and then you can make all your patties. That way, they're all the same size. They're going to go on the grill at the same time. They're going to come off the grill at the same time. So that preparation, like you said, is so important before, because then it makes your Super Bowl Sunday that much easier when it comes to having some fantastic food and enjoying the time with your family and friends.
And what are we giving away today as far as a grill?
So we're going to be giving away a Q1200, and it's perfect for weather just like we have now, because it's a little smaller, portable, has a porcelain enamel cast iron grate, which retains heat extremely well, especially in colder temperatures. So when you talk about Super Bowl, you don't have to worry about lighting up a big grill. You can have this Q going, and you can put 12 to 14 hamburgers on it at one time. So there's enough space that you can cook some fantastic food, very efficient, and doesn't take up a lot of space. So no matter if you're out, you know, in the suburbs or if you're in the urban areas just like Chicago, this will definitely fit on your balcony and provide you some awesome grilled food.
All right, here's what we're going to do, because our phone lines are jammed with callers for the boys here. In fact, we got one a grill question I'm going to get to in a couple minutes, but to give away this Weber Q grill, and there's all kinds of course, different colors, as we noted. You can get it of purple for Northwestern, orange for the Bears, blue for the Cubs, whatever you want to do. We're going to open up the phone line at 312-981-8711. Those are the two phone lines we're going to use. We're going to take the seventh caller, 312-981-8711. So just a slightly different number for this call, 312-981-8711. Seventh caller will win this Weber grill. And what's the value of this grill?
I believe it's $199.
Yeah, so it's a nice deal. A couple hundred bucks worth of grilling, and Sammy's going to pull up the seventh caller, and we'll give that grill away off the air. Oh, and I just lost the guy for the grilling question. That's okay. I guess we'll get that another day. How many people you think call in sick the next day after Super Bowl Sunday?
I'm guessing about 30% of the workforce, which I think, you know, somebody get a hold of the president or somebody else. We should be turning in that Monday as a federal holiday where, you know, it's just like Christmas, Thanksgiving. We should be getting that off as a world, considering how much consumption of food, beverage, and everything else that we're enjoying with our family and friends. It should be considered a holiday.
That's so funny. You know, what's funny is that there's my son's high school. They do like a trackathon in the fall, and as a reward, if they hit a certain dollar amount, they get off the day after Super Bowl, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
right.
See, I would work 80-hour weeks in order to be able to take that Monday off. I mean, that's the perfect day after you've had a blast of just grilling a tremendous amount of food and having family and friends over. That it is definitely let's stay home and relax.
There's also, by the way, I want to mention this too for Weber Grill. I mean, there's so many different accessories that you can buy, but there's also a cleaning kit. So, I mean, you know, to clean inside and outside the grill to kind of, you know, clean it up after last summer if you haven't done it yet. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. We have some fantastic cleaners that there's cleaners designed for the inside, which break down grease. There's cleaners that are designed specifically for the outside. And one thing that I would definitely tell you when it comes to the cleaning and maintenance is a lot of people don't have patience, just like with grilling. They always want to look. When you use these cleaners, you want to spray and you want to let those sit for at least 5 to 7 minutes, and that really starts to break down the debris both inside and outside. Common mistake that people make is they spray it and they just want to start cleaning it after that, and it doesn't allow the cleaners to start activating and really start working. So you want to be patient, you want to spray down those areas, let the cleaner sink in, and then you go over with your paper towel or your grill brush, and that will pretty much take all the debris off your grills.
Very cool. Tim from Bolingbrook has won the Weber Q Grill, so congratulations to Tim. Sam's getting down all his information. We're going to give the iGrill away in the next half hour to our first caller after we get back from the break. Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill, and for more information, you can visit WeberGrill.com. You can get some great stuff at Ace Hardware, True Value Hardware. They got a great grill lineup, and you can check it out there as well. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dave, for having us, and everybody, enjoy yourself. Stay safe. Make sure you clean your path to your grills, and let's have a fantastic couple weeks before the Super Bowl.
Love it. Thanks, pal. Talk soon.
Thanks.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Lindsay. Lindsay and Lou are both off today. It's Dave Plyer along with Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan taking your calls. And we're opening back up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. I also want to mention, if you want to track the storm a little bit in between the newscast, we've got all the weather information at the top of our webpage at WGNradio.com. Hey, Grace, you're on 720 WGN. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Well, good morning. I have a question for you. We have precast stairs, concrete stairs, and all the products I look at say you cannot use them on precast stairs. Do you have any idea of any products that I can use?
For salt? Yeah.
Yes, because the stairs get rather slippery, and without being able to put salt on them, you know, it's like a slide.
Yeah, I'm not sure on precast. I would think, again, I kind of default back to, I always think if it's safe for pets, yeah, it's got to be safe for most surfaces.
But not precast.
What's that?
They're not, you know, everything says not for precast stairs.
I'm going to do some research on that, and I'll look it up while we're online here, and I'll see what I can find.
The only other thing I think is the beet juice stuff that they've got now.
Yeah.
Where do you find that, though?
I'm not sure where to buy it, but that obviously would not harm it.
Beet juice?
Yeah, they use beet juice now. They make it's a de-icer out of beets.
We've seen it on the roads as we've gone, but I didn't know if you could purchase it.
I'm not sure. That's the only thing that could come to mind. I agree. I thought the PetSafe would be good on it, but if they're saying you can't use it on precast, we'd have to come up. The only other thing I can think of is sand.
I was just going to say, it's a good old-fashioned sand. Right?
Yeah, it's not going to melt the ice, but at least it makes it less
some
slippery.
Traction.
Yeah.
I'll look it up, though. I'll look it up while we're here, and I'll see if I can't find something.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, Grace. Thanks for hanging out. Hey, Mo, you're on 720 WGNWIC. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Arizona. You are still my favorite radio station, even though I've relocated.
It's awesome to hear.
But you have no snow.
Yeah, what's the weather like in Arizona today? What are we doing? What are we talking about?
Let me check. I'm up near Sedona, and it's 45.
Oh, that's a little chilly.
But on New Year's Eve, we had 4 inches of snow.
Oh, man.
Okay.
There you go. What's your question, though?
Well, as I'm explaining, it gets a little chilly around here. It's not hot all the time. And I need to create a warming or drying area in my attached garage, but I don't want to burn down my house or the garage. So my question is, I'm thinking of constructing a frame with some type of insulation, or should I use plywood or drywall? And the temperature that I want to maintain in that drying area is going to be about 75 or 80 degrees, but not all the time. It'll be off and on. And I just wanted some ideas as to what kind of insulation and framing I need to do.
When you're saying drying, are you talking like a closet type of situation where you can dry clothes or food or whatever? Yeah.
I make plaster magnets for a living.
Okay.
And they go on to like a rolling rack, like a baker's rack.
Right.
And they sit on like little sheets you would put cookies on to get them to dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take about 5 of those and keep them in the garage to accelerate the drying process. When the water evaporates, they naturally dry.
Right.
But I'm going to need to accelerate the dry.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I would think just a standard 2x4 framing, you could do plywood or drywall coating. I would use standard R13 insulation and then install an electric heater, not like just a little baseboard heater, but an actual wall-mounted heater that has a thermostat on it, and you can control the temperature in there and just turn it on and off as needed.
Do you think radiant heat is the best?
If you're looking at trying to dry, I think forced air is going to dry better because it's going to be moving it around more. Radiant heat's awesome for living conditions, but if you're looking to try to dry something, I think just a small forced air electric heater would work. You could mount it like above the door so it doesn't get in the way of anything. You don't have to worry about pushing a rack up against it, and that should do it, I would think.
I was thinking that and maybe some fans to circulate the air.
Depending on how big it's going to be, again, if you have forced air electric heater, that's going to go. But keeping a fan on all the time and keeping the air moving will help. So you could have a secondary fan that just runs all the time. Because the more you keep the air moving, the more it's going to pull that moisture out.
Gotcha. And what do you think about styrofoam as insulation or a fire blanket?
What you're looking at, I would just go with standard fiberglass insulation. It'll be less expensive. It's not like you're trying to...
Fiberglass burns really well. In fact, we use it in basements, and you can't... it has to be totally covered because it's quite flammable and toxic.
Well, but I'm saying if she's going to do a framed room and drywall it or plywood,
you could do that. Yeah, yeah, as long as it's covered.
But same with the styrofoam. If she's got it exposed and get enough heat, that's going to be an issue too. So you want to create a room, though. You want it to be a sealed room on the inside, not just open studs. So you put your framing up, put your insulation on, drywall it, and then go ahead and have your heat put in there, and you should be fine.
Gotcha. That sounds like a plan. Thank you so much.
Hey, Mo, I'm sure you're a griller out there in Arizona. I've got an iGrill, which is it's a temperature control. You can check your meat, and you can actually check it from your iPhone while you're in the kitchen doing other things. We're going to have Sam get your information, and we'll get it out to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Mo. All right. And Tony, you're on 720 WGN, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
All right, Dave. I got a kind of a simple question, but I'm going nuts trying to figure it out. I have a two-story house. It's not very old, built in the mid-90s. And I was just wondering how to get that upstairs. I know you never get it zoned perfectly, but, I mean, I've got to turn the heat up around 74 to make it even sleepable upstairs. Do they make, like, high-performance blower motors? Because you can barely feel the air coming up there, and I've messed around with the dampers in the basement. Doesn't seem to improve it at all. And have you guys ever had any experience with the register boosters themselves? I mean, I'm just looking for suggestions, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the register boosters. I get the idea and I understand the concept on them. I'm not a huge fan. Here's what I would recommend, though. Two things. Number one, just to want to make sure that your attic insulation is good so that the heat that is being produced up there isn't going into the attic. So that's the first thing I would probably check, just to make sure the heat loss is kept to a minimum. The second thing, if you are having challenges as it relates to just getting air pushed up there, I would have, next time you have your furnace clean and checked, ask them to check the speed, because most furnaces have dip switches or wires that can be moved around on the fan itself to control the speed at what CFM the fan is blowing at. And it's quite possible they just don't have it blowing at enough CFM to push the air through the ductwork up to those second floor systems. Ductwork is a lot like water. In other words, it's going to take the path of least resistance. So if you're dampering down and it's still not getting up there, then it's still coming out somewhere else. So I would have them increase the fan speed on it.
Okay, but if that doesn't work, is there like regular motors? Is there half horse, three quarter horse? Is there bigger blower motors?
Well, they're sized for the furnace.
Yeah, that I would mess with. If the blower motor isn't adequate enough, we've put in duct boosters, which is it's actual duct with a motor in it. Not the cheap little versions that you find at some of the home centers, but they make quality units. They're quiet. They just hook up to your furnace so that when the furnace kicks on, they kick on, or if the blower kicks on, they'll kick on. And they're designed for real long runs like that, so that might be an option.
Okay.
But you're going to spend probably $300+ on that duct booster.
Okay.
Yeah, I would start with the blower, though, in your furnace first, see if they can't get
that's
that.
The easy solution.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. All right. Very good.
Yep. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you joining us. Have a great day. Hey, we're going to do Lou's next last call coming up after the break here, and we're going to give away. We got one final apt gift card for $50. So we'll do that for Lou's last call, 312-981-7200. You can win a apt $50 gift card. And John Williams also coming up next. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. And it is time for Lou's last call, Dave's last call, we'll call it today. And we got Dave on the line. Dave, welcome to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And how's the weather over there?
It's blowing sideways and in every direction. I mean, this is going to go on for a couple more hours. And then we got some lake effect snow coming. So we'll see what happens, pal.
Okay.
What's your big question?
I have a steel building, and I put fluorescent lights in it, and now all I get, like, on AM is static.
We don't want that.
No,
we don't.
How are the fluorescent lights installed? Are they piped, or are they, like, just cords?
No, they're piped.
And where's the engineer here? Yeah. Where's Bob Ferguson when we need him?
The building is fine until I turn the lights on. When I turn the lights on, then all I get is Well, yeah, like static. Yeah. I can just barely hear the radio.
And those lights are grounded.
Yes.
It's. Did you say LEDs or fluorescent?
Fluorescent.
Yeah, so the transformer is absorbing the radio signal.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's got to be with the ballast.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely the ballast. Yeah. I just can't think of how one would get around that.
Yeah, if it's grounded, you shouldn't have that problem.
Well, I can tell you can listen on WGNRadio.com and on our app as well.
And look at you. Nice.
Well, it's true. It's true. But is there any way to get around that?
It's odd because if he's got it grounded, it shouldn't, and piped. Sometimes if it's, if you use a Romex, if you're kind of not going code-wise, you can get that electrical feed coming through. But I
don't have an answer for that. I like that. I like the question. That's a good one. I haven't had that one. Like I said, I wish the engineer were here because they could probably maybe come up with a solution.
Yeah.
The only other thing I could think is to do an external antenna. But that's not an easy fix, I realize. That's the only other thing I can think.
Well, at the very least, Dave, I'm going to get you an ABT or an APT gift card. And Pleasing People Since 1936, visit their store in Glenview or online at APT.com. And it's a $50 value. And if you'll just stick on the line, we'll get that to you as well. My thanks to Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and from Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. And what are your websites again?
CreativeCarpentry.net.
TateEnt.com.
And there you have it.
Hey, may I also say that I did research the de-icing fluid, and that's one of the reasons I love coming down here. Someone actually texted in an idea I've never heard of, but I actually like the idea. For the lady that called in about the precast concrete, somebody texted in, try windshield de-icing fluid. So the stuff that you would buy.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and you only need a little bit, right, because you're just doing a couple of stairs, and I think that's safe. I read the active ingredient is methanol, so I can't find anything that says that that's bad for concrete, but it's an idea.
Good idea. All right. All right. John Williams coming up next on 720 WGN.